Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
I'm Jay Morin.
I'm Bridget Jaipal Valenza.
I'm Thomas O'Neill White.
This is What's Next, a dedicated hour to have important conversations about the issues facing the marginalized and underrepresented communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario.
If we're going to have some real healing, we've got to have space to tell some uncomfortable truth.
What's Next continues our mission to discuss race, equity,
and the common concerns of Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
This is What's Next. I'm host Thomas O'Neill White, along with host Jay Morin. And today we welcome to the show a man who wears many hats. He is the founder of the Buffalo Music and Arts Festival, principal owner of Amari Rose Development, Lindsay Taylor. Lindsay, thank you for being on with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So it's August. Big things happening. We're approaching the 8th annual Buffalo Music and Arts Festival. What is the festival for people who may have not heard about it?
Yeah, just a context if you're looking for. So we actually took the name off a festival. We actually call it a celebration. So that's actually our term. So it's the Buffalo Music and Arts Celebration.
So there was a reason then for it.
Yeah, there was a reason. We just didn't want to be pigeonholed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Being pigeonholed into saying that, you know, when we're talking about festivals, right, there's a certain like, right, you know, boxing in of like, what does this look like, right? You're talking everything from as detailed as insurance companies, right? You're talking everything far as like, what are people looking at when they're coming? Like, what's this festival? Like, what it was about? But really what we always been about was being a celebration of music, arts, and culture, right? So we just really took that tagline. I mean, that's really what it's about. It's just really celebrating all of that resonates here and outside of Buffalo. Yeah.
And that was the initial idea for the celebration. How has it grown over the years?
Yeah, so conceptually, it's been a 10-year process. So back in 2014, the concept was like, you know, through going on now 18 years of hosting and planning and doing events. In 2014, I was like, man, I really want to do something in this standpoint, fire as a festival, right? That could be considered amongst the others across the country that people would want to travel in from across the world to come here to Buffalo to do. So I literally just put it out as a Facebook stat, right? And some former classmates that I went to high school with, some people that were connecting the community was like, yo, let's do it. So we sat, we met, we talked about it, we conceptualized the idea of it. We even did like some site, you know, searching out for site locations. And one of them that happened at that time in 2014 actually happened to be Silo City.
Okay.
And I remember my guy Demetrius, he actually lives in Puerto Rico now. He was like, yeah, I know this place, Silo, you know, they call it Silo City, but it's, you know, you gotta take this whole long road back there. They have it gated off. You might be able to do some events back there. We're looking at aerial maps, what that may look like. And I can even, if I go back to some of the old maps, you'll look at it and see, we were like marking off where things could be at. And that was nowhere near where it was gonna be at, but you just didn't know what that space was.
What did it look like in 2014? Because I think a lot of people who have been recently are like, oh yeah, well,
it was very rustic, abandoned green space at that time. Like, we were just looking at aerial 3D pictures of it,
uh-huh,
right? So our first year that we actually did the celebration, it wasn't at Silo City. We actually did it at Riverworks.
Okay.
So our very first year was actually hosted at Riverworks, which sits right across. Went very well, and then I get a direct message from Swanee. If anybody's familiar with Silo City, Swanee was the groundsman for Silo City. So like, he literally lived, he had a dog, man. It was
I remember that.
So if you know who Swanee is, right? So Swanee messages, says, Lindsay, I heard great things about, you know, your event that you have. And would you be interested in coming to Silo City? Right? He's like, I want you to come and meet. So literally this was like a week after we hosted it. So went over there and immediately I just fell in love with the place. It felt welcoming. It felt at home. There was no restrictions on what we can do. It was like, you know, as long as nobody, you know, hurts themselves or kills themselves, don't do it. But hey, if you want to do this, let's do it, right? So that really opened us up to be able to do more. So for those 3 years that we were at Silo City up until the pandemic, actually through the pandemic, we were at Silo City. Then as, you know, transition from there, yeah.
Yeah, you're at the Central Terminal. You've been there for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, so we've been at the Central Terminal. This is going on year four now at the Central Terminal. So half of the time we've been in existence for 8 years. And as we previously were talking about, that was another conversation, right? you know, present an idea to the community in regards to our East Side development, right? That was just conceptually, you know, this was 5 years ago, right? Now we're talking about it with the Gibson now, right? And Carl Skampowski stands up in the middle of a room amongst, you know, two of the other stakeholders and says, Lindsay, I want you to bring BoFlo to the Buffalo Central Terminal. And now we're here, right? And there's a great story. You know, I actually put it online recently. I was actually going through an old family photo box. And it was all these photos, random photos, family members, different things like that. And it was just a random photo of the Central Terminal by itself. Nothing else around it. Just the, and actually the exact like green space and the street that we actually use for the actual celebration. It was just in the photo. And I'm looking like, why does, you know, I'm, you know, as my family, you know, at that time we were living in Cheektowaga, right? And we always were freaking going up and down William, you know, when they had the farmer's markets and different things, like things of that nature. So I always seen the post office. I always seen it like that. But I'm like, why is this? This is a unique photo in this photo box. I look at it, and on the actual date, it had August 1992. Hmm. August is when we do the celebration. You have this picture of this place that now I'm curating this event at. It's like, how divine is this? So now you have all this divine work that's happening here. So now we've been doing that and just really just, you know, bringing life and energy to the Central Terminal, which, you know, we assisted other events that are happening at the Central Terminal as well, too. Just really the Broadway former neighborhood, very historic neighborhood, has its own riches and essentially itself. Once again, another neighborhood and another place that, you know, essentially was left.
Right.
Right. And now there's life being given to it. And we're just a part of that. Yeah.
Was it difficult getting buy-in from the city, sponsors, stakeholders to not only have the celebration, have the festival, but then to move that over to the Central Terminal?
No, I don't. I think at that time I was, you know, doing work for about already 12 years in the community, doing other events. I was doing sporting events at that time. So the community understood like what I was doing. It was just about telling that story, right? I'm telling it in the right way and have people understand it. So we're still doing that, right? Over the 8 years. Okay, what is it? Because, you know, there's so much going on with both of us. Like, okay, people may understand it from one capacity to one aspect of it. So over time, you know, you're always developing, you're always bringing in new partnerships. And we love those. Like, we have really great corporate, public, private supporters that really is like, hey, we want to see this vision come even further. We just held an event on this. So there wasn't much pushback, you know, really with it. It's just about just telling that story and having people understand it, right? Because you always, you know, once again, we talk about, you know, festivals, right? Sometimes conceptually people are like, is it like this? Is it comparable? You know, why three stages and not one stage? You know, so it's like, you know, you have to tell people, like, why do you, you know, you don't want to, you know, go for, you know, these A-list acts. You want to keep it in the regional to the emerging, you know, so you have to tell that story, you know, within it. Then we're talking to sponsors, right? Just tell, you have to tell that story, right? Because, you know, we're not hanging our hat on, oh, we're bringing X, Y, and Z artists. We're hanging our hat on this. You're growing with us, you know, so that's really it. Yeah.
Let's talk about this year's event, lengthy event. You're going from the 22nd to the 25th. So
yeah,
that's a lot of a lot of time to have activities going on. So, I mean, let's just get into how you go about building that.
Yeah. So for, I'll say, 5 out of the 8 years, we did just the one day celebration, which is more than just, I was probably get to what else we do involve in. But as far as the celebration, it was just the one day. Then we expanded to a 2 day. Which consisted of our charity softball game, right? So our softball game was like a lot of just banter between our team to some of our sponsors. Got involved. It was really fun. So we held those at LaSalle Park, and we also held one at Duville under the lights. And then like every year for the last 4 years, we've expanded it out to this weekend, right? So went from a 1 day to a 2 day to a 3 day that had like a happy hour to a 4 day. Now it has the VIP reception, right? So in theory, in building, it's almost like a family reunion, right? If you ever go to a family reunion, you have the day everybody gets dressed up. You have the day that everybody's going out and having a barbecue. You have the day that everybody's, you know, having some games. Then you have the big celebration send off, right? So that's essentially what it's built like. And one of the thoughts and theories behind it is for artists that come on stage or to present themselves or from the area, they like circle this on their calendar, like, hey, I'm going back home to perform here. Or if I'm from out of town, like, here's a weekend, I want to come back home. Or you're inviting people to come in if you live here. So like really treating like that origin and that nostalgic feeling of like, hey, this is a celebration weekend. This is a family reunion for the area. Yeah.
So what's new this year?
So new this year, so we flipped around some things as far as like how we want to structure the day. So Thursday, August 22nd is our VIP reception. So it's going to be a casino nights theme. So we'll have some black chaps, some roulette tables in there for people to enjoy. Creative black tie event. So people can wear, you know, sneakers with their suit. They can wear a creative tie. So kind of just throw that twist into there. Then also we're going to be honoring 13 community stakeholders who have an authentic impact in the community, right? And how we choose those people. People who over these years have supported us in many ways out loud or behind the scenes, or just we're noticing their work that they're doing in the community that's having a real authentic impact. As you know, that there's a lot of things people say that they're doing, but where's the real impact?
Right, you see it. You get a chance to see it.
So that's what that's about. So that's the VIP reception. A newer event this year is the Bowflow Backyard Barbecue. So this is a new event that we're doing. So just once again, I've just been, you know, build everything off of nostalgia, right? So just having this nostalgic event, when you ever go to your family's cookout, you go to the barbecue, you have good food, you got good music, you know, you got people playing spades, you got people playing dominoes, you got people line dancing, there's backyard games, right? So curating this to having the barbecue menu, having some good drinks, treating it like it's a family reunion, inviting all your cousins to come out, right? So then on Saturday, which is a newer event, but it's still within our theme of doing the sports. So we transitioned from doing our softball game, now we're going into golf. So our tagline is bringing the culture to the golf course. And if you know it, golf is transitioning to being really inclusive to a lot of different demographics of people. And really for us with this golf event, I've hosted other golf events, but this won't be like your traditional golf event, right? Where, you know, we want to make it inclusive for everybody. So we want to take all the culture and exude that, right? Less on the golf and more on the culture. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody loves to get dressed. Okay, so now we're making it in a fashionable event for golf. So we have awards for the best dressed, right? So, you know, the best sneakers, right? So really having people focus on the fun of it, right? Hey, we want to go out and have some fun on the course, right? We, you know, don't worry about if you chucking and you digging the grass. We want to go have fun, right? We're doing it right in the city of Buffalo. So we're doing it at South Park Golf Course where Botanical Gardens is at.
Mm-hmm.
Accessible. You don't have to drive 20-30 minutes to the golf course, right? It's 9 holes, so you have to worry about doing 18, right? It's a manageable, and then we want everybody having fun, having a great time, looking good, feeling good, and then just have a great time, right? So we have some great partnerships and merchandise. We have a merchandise line that's with that, from short sets to polos to caps, with a partnership with New Era, and it's really exuding that. We're making it super affordable, so nobody has, you know, if you've been to a golf class, you know those can get pretty expensive. So we're making it really affordable. And then we cap it off with a celebration at the Central Terminal, which if you've never been, it's 3 stages of music. Performances, there's art installations, there's exhibiting art, there's our Bully Hill Wine Tent. We have our Family Fun Zone, which is kid-friendly activities, face painting, balloon making, art trucks, you name it, for kids to get involved into. We have our Vendors Village, which is a number of different small businesses throughout the area, food trucks. And we have a Pull Up and Pitch, which is a small business contest. We know cannabis is alive in Western New York, so we have a smoker's cut where people can go, you know, if you want to, you know, smoke, hey, we don't want you doing it in front of kids, but we have a designated area for you to smoke if that's what you want to do. Then a lot of other interaction that's happening. So I was really excited about that. Yeah.
Talk a little bit about some of the musical guests you've got. I mean, you've got a band from Jay-Z's Roc Nation.
Yeah. So this year, just continue to expand our borders. We always keep our focus, our foundation on regional artists from, you know, the Western New York area. But over time, we've always been inviting others to join us. Right, because I believe that if you can bring people, say, hey, I'm coming from Mississippi, I'm coming from New York City, I'm coming from Toronto, I'm going to this event. How do you even say it? Is it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then what's going on in Buffalo that they're going there for, right? So now that's going to catch eyes from other places. Say, okay, I need to go here if they're going and they're leaving with a great impression, right? So this year we have our headline act is Affinity Song, which is a family soft rock band. They're based out of New York City. They're signed to Roc Nation, who is Jay-Z. They're actually on a world tour right now. They're just performing on BET. They just did a European legendary tour. So really great brand. They just dropped a new album. So please, you know, check them out. We also have Say Blue, who's from Toronto, Canada, who is jazz, R&B, soul, really great artist. La Cassandra, who's Dominican and Latin artist coming up from New York City. Elsie, who's from Mississippi, country and soul. Cameron Corvey, who is R&B, also Grammy Award winning writer, coming up from Atlanta, Georgia. And then we have a host of other artists here from the region. Tiny Desk, 14 Mafia, No Load of Slayer. It's a great amount of acts that are happening.
And these are all up-and-coming artists.
So yeah, I would more or less say we have some established artists and also emerging artists. We pride ourselves on being on that niche of like, this is where you're going to see them before they take the next step, right? So if you look over our past history, right, you have Daniel Ponder, who was on a part of our celebration 3 years ago, right? And then now, you know, one of her songs is actually part of one of the Olympic commercials, right? She's performing at all the major, you know, New Orleans jazz festivals and all the major festivals. She performed on Nate Light with Jimmy Kimmel, right? So literally 6 months after people just seen her in August, right? So it's like, you almost had that feeling. Like, I just seen them at Bow Flow. Now they're on this national stage performing, right? You have, you know, Benny the Butcher. You have Vanzella Joy, who opened up Beyonce's, you know, what you consider historic performance at Coachella with the drums, one of our own that was right here, right? You have DJ T Jizzle, who was here, TJ Eubanks now, who's going on tour with Future and Drake, right? You have a number of artists that you're seeing them now, and then now they're also on these national stages, right? So you're not just seeing, oh, I'm just going to a talent show, right? Or to see these up-and-coming artists, but you're actually going to something that's, wow, we're actually seeing really great musicians, artists, and it's almost like get in now kind of thing, right? Because you can see them now before or as they are, right? You know, like a Finney song has a name, right? So it's like, I get to see them now. The next time you may see them in Buffalo, they may be performing at Darien Lake for all you know. You know what I'm saying? So, but you can say, I remember I seen them there. And that's what we really pride ourselves on with that, yeah.
Stay with us. There's more to come. This is What's Next on WBFO.
Hi, I'm Christina. I love exploring the world around me, and I have behind-the-scenes VIP tickets to some of the most exciting places and people in Western New York, and you can come along with me from wherever you are. Let's go! A new series you can watch on WNED PBS, the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel, and on PBS Learning Media nationwide.
So let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go!
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
We're talking with Lindsay Taylor today on What's Next of the Beaufort Music and Arts Celebration coming up on August 22nd through the 25th here in Buffalo. Hey, if we can just jump back just a little bit on the VIP celebration that you're going to have. You mentioned 13 different people you're going to honor. I'm not going to expect you to name them all, and I don't want to feel bad about maybe not listing everybody. But at the same time, we could just talk about a couple of people that, you know, might be top of mind for you because, it's, like you said, these are people that you know, that you have seen doing work, whether it's out there in the spotlight or, you know, maybe a little lower level, but still doing the important work.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we could talk about a couple of those folks.
So you have Thomas Buford with the Buffalo Urban League. You have Catherine Roberts with the Resource Council of Western New York. You have Patty Steven with Buffalo Prep. You have Dennis Wilson, a teacher and business owner here in the Buffalo, West New York area. You have Dr. Mark Scott with the Oshaya Foundation. You have Tiffany Torres with Evergreen Health. You have Joe Ramos, who's a community stakeholder here in the area as well, too. I believe I'm not missing anybody. I'm making sure I don't miss because these are wonderful people. Seamus Gallivan, who many of you know, friend of the show. Daniel Roberson, who would Breaking Barriers and Say Yes. Another friend of the show. Pat Matthews, who is a community stakeholder, also a pro football executive. Nakia Kemp with the Buffalo Pal, and April Contreras, who's a community stakeholder as well too. So all of these people, we see the work that they're doing, right? And I really truly believe in authentic work, right? And that's so they don't have to broadcast it, but you see it, you see the impact, you see the influence, right? They're not just doing it for just, you know, check marks, to stand in front of a room and say, hey, look at what we've done, or we're just doing, you know. One of my biggest things is like, you know, and when we talk about partnerships, is like, I want to do something that's meaningful, right? And not just say, hey, oh yeah, we service this community, so now we can check off and go back to it, right? No, these are people who are doing that work 24/7. Right, and you really see the impact.
The follow through matters.
The follow through matters, and the consistency matters. Mm-hmm. Right, and the resumes speak for themselves, and so that's what it was about. Yeah,
it's also interesting. At least one of them mentioned about the athletic connections here in Buffalo, and you mentioned, I don't know if we mentioned it at the beginning of the show or just in our off air conversation, about a lot of the work that you did as you were kind of evolving as a promoter and an organizer. You know, came through sports here in the city of Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. That's the foundation from the time I was a kid, just being involved in athletics, high school playing, a little bit of college playing. And then I just was like that foundational thing. And if you play sports, you understand what it is, right? Especially, and I always say, you know, especially if you played football, you understand all those moving parts, all those personalities, that teamwork, that camaraderie. Like, I believe, you know, this is not for everybody, but I believe that, you know, sports and being a part of sports is a great way creates, you know, how to organize and be in business, right? Because you got to know how to manage, adjust. You got to know how to compete. You got to know how to put together a plan, right? You got to know how to do all these things that essentially sports teaches you, right? And, you know, a large part of, you know, as we talked about, you know, part of that, you know, promotion of events and nightlife stuff and sporting events. So for 12 years, I did Ballin' for a Cause, which was a national basketball tournament here in Buffalo that had, you know, essentially we can consider like the blueprint for Bo Flo, right? It was like the proof of concept for a lot of it, of how to really deal with a lot of it, right? Organization, how to really deal with, you know, partnerships, how to, you know, talking about scaling, right? As that event itself scaled from a 16-team 5-on-5 event instead of the Houston gym, the Dusty Houston gym at that time, yes, at Buffalo State College, that then went to a 24-team, and then went to a 32-team, right, to from a one-day event to a two-day event to an event weekend similar to the blueprint that what Buffalo has, to then taking that, you know, that concept and then hosting those events throughout the country. So we used to take that tournament and help host them in Erie, PA, Toronto, Canada, Akron, Cleveland, Ohio, New York City, Dallas, Texas, Pittsburgh, right? And we host these circuit tournaments in those cities, and those champions would then get a bid to come to Buffalo. Mm. And Buffalo was the national tournament, which we held, you know, youth teams, we held women's teams. So, you know, in that given weekend, we have, you know, close to almost 100 teams and over, you know, 1,000 plus participants coming to Buffalo. And now you're talking then, we added to that, which was a world game division, which we invited teams from across the world. So essentially, we had our own mini FIBA Olympics happening here in Buffalo. So we had teams, and this was real. It wasn't like, hey, like, you know, you live in Buffalo and you're representing this. No, like, we had to write letters to diplomats and people, you know, and countries were calling and saying, hey, are these guys really coming to Buffalo to play in this basketball tournament? When are they returning? Is everybody in this? You know, so you really, and this was, you know, if I see a plus one, 4-3-3-3, and it's coming, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, okay, this is, you know, right. So we had teams coming from as far as Ioti, which is, you know, an island right outside of Australia, Nigeria, Turkey, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Jamaica. Who else am I missing? So we had Senegal. We had some representation from United UK, a lot of the Caribbean. So we had over what the years we're doing, we had over representation almost 24 teams. So they would come to Buffalo and then they would experience it. So there was many different things that were happening throughout there. So sports has been there, and through the Ballin' for a Cause, we had other initiatives that we were supporting in the sports field as well too. Yeah.
And that kind of has that helped you transition in your role as director of development for the Police Athletic League?
Yep.
You started that in January.
November 23. Yeah. So that was, you know, doing it from a grassroots perspective, right? And really what that does, that helped really, that's connectivity to the community, right? Because many times that you have people who come into these roles, right? They may not still have that real connection to the community, right? They're looking at it from a book perspective. You know, hey, this is what I got learned in school. But like, this is somebody that's coming from the community that, like, listen, like, spent their last dollars, you know, to see things through, really understanding and knowing what families and parents want, what really works, what don't work. All right. a lot of those things. So that really helped. Right. And then now being able to showcase this on a new platform.
Yeah. You know, in terms of what works and doesn't work, I'm interested in this in the sense that, you know, somebody who's listening right now, you know, you've been talking about entertainment, these big acts, talking about sports, things that a younger person would be really interested in and probably very excited about what they're hearing from you and about. But at the same time, I know this because I'm old enough to know. It takes a very exceptional type of person to put all this together. And I guess I'm going to ask you to kind of reflect a little bit, because you probably have had these conversations with people. What does, you know, what if somebody was saying, hey, I want to do these kinds of things that you're doing, what would be your advice to them?
As you said, exceptional.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to do, but it takes a certain type of personality.
It's hard to do, and I get this literally every day. Like, I don't know how you do all this stuff, right?
I can see your eyes just getting tired of talking about it.
Here's how I do all this stuff. So, for one, over the years, one, to do all of this, you do need a support system. You do need a support system. So you need people that believe in what you're doing and that will help support what you're doing. And then once they show that, you know, you want to be able to, you know, people, you know, they'll naturally say, how can I help, right? Where can I fit in at, right? So you do need that, because there's no way that you can do all of this by, there's going to be slips in the crack. But really, if you're talking about, like, how do I get to this point? Like, my biggest things, and when I talk to our interns, I talk to our, you know, some of our mentees and stuff like that, as I was really say to them, is like, you know, my biggest things, I don't care what degree you have, I don't care, you know, your financial situation, one, you have to be organized, right? You have to be organized, whatever you're doing. Like, you have to be accountable, right? And you have to be efficient, right? So in all that, would be, you know, so if you, and I'm saying that in the sense is that, you know, if somebody texts you, you text them back. If somebody emails them, you email them right back, right? You don't let it sit for days and days and days. You have to be persistent with what you're doing. And that's really, I'm kind of just giving like a wide castanet on it, but right. Those are the things that I really pride myself on, is like, I stay on top of everything that I'm doing. I make sure that I'm responding to people, making sure I'm on top, making sure I'm organized. So, you know, if we want to plan something out, I'm giving you from the front end to the back end of, hey, this is how it needs to roll up in advance, right? And that's really where it's at. You know, you really have to just be diligent about your organizational skills. I think that is the difference between a lot of different things, right? You know, you have to be organized and you have to be really, really efficient, right? And how I just plan out my days, you know, it's just ways that you kind of have to just go about and doing things. Like right now, you know, as we're going through this, I'm like, okay, this is what we're going to do for 2025. This is what we're going to, you know, so, oh, you know, just thinking about those things, like, okay, I liked how this went. This could have been better. Let's switch this around for next year. And so forth like that, yeah.
Do you find it hard to delegate, or maybe it's easier for you now than when you first started?
I'm getting better at it.
Sometimes you have no choice, right?
Yeah, I'm getting better at it. And I say this because I think I would say pet peeve, but my biggest thing is like, I don't want to delegate something to you and I have to wait on you. You know, just my rule thing with our interns is like, I shouldn't have to follow up with you to follow up with me. If I'm doing that, then I could just do it myself, right? Because I'm using that time and energy, right? So you should be following, hey, I got this, and this already accomplished, right? I should say, hey, what's going on with X, Y, and Z project? Oh, you know, this came up. Okay, but now we're losing weeks, you know, now we're losing days, right? But so I think that's the biggest thing right there. So that's the biggest hold up. I think with any delegation, but for me, it's that piece. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we have a really great team that we don't have to worry about that too much.
We have to really talk about, I mean, you know, we've talked about Buffalo, and we can most certainly circle back and hit all the pertinent elements here. But the expansion of your efforts into Gibson Development and affordable housing on Buffalo's East Side.
Yeah.
I mean, again, another jump. Talk about, you know, what's prompting you to do this.
Legacy, right? As you talked about delegation and so forth like that. So right now we're going through a really strategic planning and really succession planning, because I truly believe that, you know, this should be a brand and organization that lives beyond me, right? I mean, if I say, hey, I want to stop, it shouldn't have to stop, right? Mm-hmm. I really believe that, you know, a lot of brands and organizations should be like that, right? And we don't necessarily see that, you know, particularly from my community, right? You know, as you know, if one of us starts something and we say we want to stop, it kind of just
no doubt
it stops. But there's a succession plan in place where we're building up for the next generations, and obviously legacy and impact, right? So our formula for that is two pieces of our model, which is culturally activated and community engaged. That's our model, right? So what our triple C is being culturally activated, right, which we're doing with all of our events that we're doing with the celebration, being community engaged with all of the programming, the mission-driven work that we're doing within the community with BoFlo, right? And then now the third C is capital assets, right? And really investing into the community, right? And having, you know, a home for BoFlo with the Gibson Development, right? Having affordable housing, and that being, you know, the first of many other capital projects that we want to be involved in, right? So with this Gibson, it's right there on the east side of Buffalo, which is very important for us. It's right in the neighborhood in which we are already doing work in, right? Down the street, L-shaped walk to right. The terminal, right? So it's going to be really important for us. And now, you know, we have an official space and home to, and this will be a creative space where we can have live music, we can have art, we can have community events, right? We can do many of these different things right there and welcome the community that sits right across from another landmark, which is the Broadway Market, right? And then we have affordable housing units, which, you know, is very much of a need in this area, right? So it fits very well. It's incremental development right now, but it's the first phase of many. Yeah.
Affordable housing. I mean, it's needed. It's obviously, it's a huge need, not only here in Buffalo, but pretty much everywhere across the United States. But at the same time, just talking to some people about this, how complex and difficult it is to put together the financing plan for that.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, we probably need to get out, you know, flow charts and things like that and graphs to really fully understand it. But
yeah,
for you, what were some of the key elements that the things that you had to get across, those hurdles?
There's immense amount of hurdles. Yeah. We talk about with development, right? Any type of development, especially talk about like smaller scale projects, right? Because all of the capital stacking that you have to do, all of the financial pieces, right? You know, so you have to build those pieces out, right? So it's just, once again, telling that story. Why is this project important, right? When you look at the Gibson right now, this phase of it is 3,000 square feet, right? Which will have, 3,000 square feet with three floors on it, right? But then, to traditional funders or traditional banks, right? They're like, okay, but they're looking at, let's do these 40,000 square foot, 20 plus, 30 plus, 40 plus, unit affordable housing projects, the big splashes versus doing these smaller scale ones. Well, this smaller scale one actually has impact on the community, right? And in order for this to get to that, you have to start somewhere. And this is a project that was a neighborhood staple, right? It was, but now since this fire has been essentially an eyesore, you have people walking out of the Broadway Market, right? And they're seeing like this eyesore of this building that once was, right? And we've seen when we started just doing some exterior patch up to the property, how people just started coming, hey, what's going on? Somebody's on, somebody's finally doing something, So the natural just walk by, like, oh, finally something's happening here, right? Mm-hmm. And just the alignment was happening. You know, if you walk out of our building, literally from here to the, not even to, half of this wall, I'm inside of the Broadway Market. If you look to the left, you're looking at the Cedar development that's happening right there with the Ecker building. Right behind us is going to be, the Buffalo Brewing, right, development. You have, Dubs Hall down the street. You have the Central Terminal on the I-Shot. You got Jericho Road on the other side of the. So you have all these other pieces. You have Torrance Space that's around the corner. So you have all these other pieces that are happening. So it's an impact project. So something that say, hey, look, this is what we do. We have a home, and now we want to continue to expand. Yeah.
Do you think, with further development, you would stay in the neighborhood, or would you look at other places in Buffalo's East Side that could use this type of development?
Both. Definitely want to have an imprint in that Broadway neighborhood, so there's some plans for that, but then also in other places in the East Side as well, too. One of the first, when we talked about that concept idea, right, it was on Bailey was one of the first locations that, areas and looking at. So to your point, I definitely would say anywhere, because we do want to have some larger and grander vision. So yeah.
You have, like you said, larger and grander vision for sure. You can feel the energy just talking to you. Mm-hmm. So what are you watching then, I guess, on the city landscape or the regional landscape that's saying maybe that, things that have to happen to make that next leap? For example, you mentioned Bailey. I'm thinking about that, the restructuring of the street that's going to be coming. It's going to change that street. Probably going to be a tough place to have a business for a year or two. But when it's all said and done, it's going to be great. But I'm just wondering if you see different things like that, things, little landmarks that you're looking at to say, hey, this is what, once that's done, we can go there.
Yeah, so I think if you look in the Broadway Fillmore neighborhood, some of those projects that I just talked about that are happening right then and
right
there, right? So they're there for a reason. They're happening there for a reason. We're on a main street right there on Fillmore and also at Broadway, right? So you already have what you need to have. Broadway's a straight shot downtown. Fillmore is, it's connection from downtown to the east side, goes through the whole entire city, right? So you have those things that are already in place to do that. When I look at it, across the city, it's like, hey, look at those same elements. I don't think there's not we won't go there for that. Because if you look at the history of Bold Flow and myself is that we've always went where nobody else wanted to go, and people look like, why did you go, why did you do this, right? And then it showed for itself when we were at Silo City, like, why do you got us down here, and then we go to Central Terminal, ain't no trains, coming through, so then now, why do you want this burnt out building? So you go into these places that nobody wants to kind of go to, right? So yeah, it's just, just really having that vision, I say grander, some of our things, more housing projects, more creative space projects. We really would love to, part of our plan is, gallery and theater space as well, too. The big vision is having an actual campus where, you can have a multitude of things that are actually happening. So, you know, somebody wants to bless us with a school building. You know, if somebody wants to bless us with a church or a building, you know, that's the grander vision, right? Is to have this campus. What does that campus look like? Many of those elements that we're already doing now, you know, so now you have these pieces of everything. Yeah.
Let's then circle back then to Beaufluve and the music and art celebration. Who do you want to come? Who do you want to come to the events? Because, you know, it's always interesting to see who shows up sometimes. I think more and more, like you talked about, Silo City, it became its own kind of draw.
Right.
Now the Central Terminal, you know, they're doing these, you know, movie nights and things along those lines. Talking to some of the organizers there, how they're really, you know, it's interesting to see who's showing up. So what about for Beaufluve?
Yeah, so that you mentioned. So I'm, you know, actually behind the scenes on those events that are happening at the Central Terminal. So many of those, you know, all of it, the movie nights, the concert series, all of those, you know, putting those together so that we can see that community placemaking happening there, right? So we talk about who we want to come, everybody.
Yeah.
Right? So it's all ages event, right? So any, you know, I have daughters that are 3 and 4 years old, they're coming, right? We have, you know, grandparents that are coming. Right, you have white, black, Hispanic, Latino, Middle Eastern. Everybody's welcome, right? And everybody will find something that they can connect to there, right? And then they'll also connect with other people that are there as well, too, right? We had an event, a private event, and one of our current board members, who's one of our younger board members, he's also part of our College Connected program, was talking to Claudia from AKG. And she, and Chad, it was Chad, and it was Claudia. She's like, you want to know how we met? We met at... And they were working on some separate projects. Like, we met at Beaufluve. She was like, because I was taking some things back to my car, and he asked if I needed help, and they connected there, right? You had people who were like, oh, I didn't know about this artist. Now they're connecting there. So people are actually connecting cultures, and that's really what it is. Like, so our mission is stand on the pillars of diversity to build bridges in the community through the arts, right? So we want to be that bridge where, you know, as we all know, that Buffalo and West New York area is a very diverse area, but at the same time can be very segregated.
Absolutely.
Right? So we want to be the bridge where people are coming together. They're, hey, if Buffalo is that platform, we're like, hey, I'm coming, checked out, see what this is about, you know, see what the art is about. You may connect with somebody. It has nothing to do with the actual music that's happening, but now you guys may be connecting and now you're building on something that's affecting the community. You know, so there's all these different layers. So everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. Nobody's denied. Nobody's denied. And that's what we really want to, because it's built for that.
Where do you see Buffalo celebration in 5 years, 10 years?
Yeah.
I know you talk about a secession plan, yeah. But I mean, the Central Terminal is your home for the celebration?
Yeah, I think so for the time being. Obviously, you have development that's going to happen at Central Terminal, right. So we always want to position ourselves. This is what, you know, we have things with the Gibson and so forth like that. So we have to see what that development looks like. But I think we're in pretty good shape up until year 10, right? But then obviously once real development starts happening, we'll see. But we have a really great partnership and relationship with the Central Terminal, and their board and Monica have been really great partners to work within the community. But what I would say in the next 10 years, well, if we go with the next three years, that's what our strategic plan is really looking at, the next 3 years. What does this look like, right? Carrying us out past year 10, right? How does that look, right? Talking about some of the development stuff, talking about, you know, the foundational and mission-driven work, right? Talking about what does the brand overall look like, and those will look like in many different ways, right? So we're talking about those three Cs.
Right.
Talk about those three Cs, and I think, where do I see it? I see it being some things that happen now, expanding. Right. As we talked about that blueprint earlier, we're Balling for a Cause, expanding to other markets. Right. That are similar to Buffalo. Right. That, you know, so say, for instance, if we were to expand to the DMV area, right, in the Baltimore, D.C. area. Right. Or we just expand to Pittsburgh, we expand to Cleveland or Toronto. Right. These areas that have waterways, these areas that are very similar in nature and culture to Buffalo. And now you have these other chapters of Buffalo, you know, throughout the country, and Buffalo is his headquarters, right? I think that's what you would see within the next, you know, 3 to 7 years, right? That build out, what does that look like, right? So we talk about succession planning. That's where I want to focus my energy at, right? As far as taking the blueprint that we've done here, those three C's in some of those other markets, while, you know, there's a new generation of stakeholders that are carrying Buffalo along, right? And we're building it out now with some of our board members, yeah.
So do you think you can find Lindsay Taylors in the DMV, in Cleveland, in Atlanta, and those places to make those connections and create those celebrations in those cities.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's very easy because we do have the connections there. And as you know, Buffalo is like a less than 6 degrees separation.
Sure.
So, you know, we have people, we have onlookers, we have people that are in those markets already, like looking like, oh my God, we love what you're doing, right? So, and it'll be a build out, just like how Buffalo was, right? As you know, that's not necessarily come as a big splash, but it may, the same, we have the blueprint, the proven concept here, right? So really taking that proven concept there, now you can say to the buy-in from, you know, their city or their visiting bureaus and saying, we're bringing this here. This is what we already got going in Buffalo. We want you know, so there's a lot of those different things that can really make it a really easy transition. Yeah. All not at once, though. But
no, right.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more What's Next after this.
Hey, people. Corey here with Compaq Civics. Imagine a job that combines the power of a mayor, the strategy of a CEO, and the charm of a local hero. Enter the county executive. Whether elected by the people or handpicked for this role, these leaders are the ultimate multitaskers, keeping your county's gears turning smoothly. For example, in Erie County, New York, they are in charge of the total operations of all departments. According to County Executives of America, there are 840 of these governments across 45 states. When elected, the county executive might have voting or veto power over legislation, similar to a governor or mayor. If appointed, the position is usually hired for a specific term, but can be dismissed before the term ends. County executives maintain the fiscal health of the county, ensuring financial stability. They oversee day-to-day functions and guide us through emergencies. They also conduct government meetings and are in charge of implementing laws and regulations. These folks have some big shoes to fill, which is why understanding the role of a county executive helps us appreciate the vital functions they perform, so you can rest easy about your government.
Special thanks to our partners, the Buffalo Presidential Center, whose mission is to explore and share stories about Buffalo and Western New York's contributions to the U.S. presidency and national affairs.
At Buffalo Toronto Public Media, community is at the heart of everything we do. Whether we're dancing alongside you at Porch Fest, inviting you in for a tough conversation about systemic racism, teaching you about what to do when someone overdoses, or entertaining you with free concerts in our performance space. Engaging with and serving our community is our top priority. This is Public Media.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
We're talking with Lindsay Taylor today on What's Next of the Beaufalo Music and Arts Celebration coming up on August 22nd through the 25th here in Buffalo. Yes. You know, it is interesting to hear you talk about strategic plan. You said you got a three-year strategic plan, capital assets, one of the C's that you talked about, the three C's of Buffalo. That taking that in, I mean, taking that those are business terms, right? Right. How about for you? Is that something that came naturally, or is it something you really just had to grind your way through to get a grasp of that? Because clearly you have it right now.
Yeah. Grinding away.
Because I know for people like me, I usually doze off somewhere after the first chapter. But anyway.
Yeah. It was definitely grinding away through. It was a lot of, you know, school of hard knocks, you know what I'm saying? Just really just learning. A lot of those earlier projects, events, you know, the wins, the losses, the bumping, this, you know, and kind of just figuring that out, having really great mentors. Having really great mentors along the way, you know, and sitting down with people just learning. I'm a visual person, so I like to watch and see.
Yep.
I read books, but you know, it's more of if I could watch it and see it and have a conversation. So I would say School of Hard Knocks is the way that I really just gravitated towards it. Yeah.
And you know, I just wanted to follow up on that I was interested because when you hear people who are successful, they talk about how they learn more from their losses than from their wins.
Yeah.
Do you have a loss or a hard knock that you can maybe share from us that you took and helped you move forward a little bit? I'm sure you don't have to. Focusing on your loss.
I'm just saying. So I would say like every not every, so like you have like, I don't want to say losses, right? But these learning experiences, like how can you always get better, right? So like I always say, I think what has helped me grown is accepting constructive criticism, right?
Not easy to do.
Right, not easy to do, especially when you have visions to do things. But if somebody is doing it in a meaningful way, like because they want to see you be better, right? And they're saying, hey, like, I want you to take a higher look at this, right? And you actually taking that in without being defensive and then making that better. I think that's more of the way than that. You had things where you had to think on the fly. Last year was an example where we had to literally 30 days before the event restructure the whole entire event layout because the city of Buffalo wants to come and do a underwater piping excavation on one of the major parts that we utilize for the grounds. So that costs us, one, not only are we having to restructure, we got to figure everything out. It's going to cost more money, right? So all these different things, like, oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, got really tense and really scared because, like, can we even have the event here? So now we're looking at other places to move the event to, right? So how does that help us learn? Is that, okay, like, knowing that we can have a plan B, plan C, plan D, right? We just went through it again this year, right? But we didn't freight on it. It's like, okay, we want to use this piece, but we just realized we have a nice little groundhog who likes to dig up holes and we don't know nobody twisting their knees, right? So, how do we situate that? How do we plan through that, right? So you have those scenarios where it's like you're kind of almost like learning in the moment,
sure,
of the loss. Like, okay, maybe, we could have done the ticket seating like this a little bit different than like that, right? It could have, so just little stuff like that.
Yeah, to apply it to sports, it's almost like, the first two options didn't work, so now I'm going to hit my receiver in the flat or my running back in the flat.
Right.
You mentioned being able to take constructive criticism. Did that come with a lot of, introspection on your part to be able to take that?
Yeah, I think that comes from sports.
Sounds like something you learned. It's all related.
So it comes from sports. And, prior to going to Sweet Home, I was at Chittawaga Central. And, if you play sports anywhere before 2006, coaches didn't hold their tongues. Coaches didn't hold their tongues, and they let you have it, right? And you had to be able to take that and not fold and still produce, right? You got called probably every name out the book, and early on, that would almost like fuel me. It was almost like, I'm doing something, I'm doing it good, doing whatever have you, then coaches say something like, I hate using this story, but it's a story. So like Coach Fad is one of my favorite coaches, right? And we were in practice and he was like threatening. He's like, Taylor, I'm gonna have, this guy, take your spot. So he flips me on the defense and the guy's playing running back and I'm just pissed now. It's like, okay, this is what you're gonna do. All right. So then guy happens to come head to head, I hit him, he's injuring himself. Right. Now I get back on the other side, get to doing my thing. Don't challenge, like, now if you do that, now it takes it to another, mm-hmm, creates more of it, right? There was another situation like a coach started back, it was like, I learned a lot from him after playing for him, right? During him, like, everybody's like, oh my God, this guy's going crazy. We're doing 2,500-yard sprints. Like, what are we, and we're undefeated. Like, it was just rattling our brain to, why are we doing this, right? And it was one time he was like, give me a helmet and your shoulder pads. And I'm like, okay. So, and this was like, during warm up. So, and this was like, a couple days, like doing like a walkthrough, some of the guys still had their stuff on. So I'm on, doing the special team stuff. I'm still hitting guys without it. I'm still, doing it without. So I'm like, okay, as I take this criticism, I'm going to keep producing, right? So that kind of like stemmed from football. I know that was a long, exaggerated thing, but. With both of them in particular, I had a really great conversation after the first one, right? The first one was like a huge learning experience, right? Mm-hmm. Just, even though it went very well, it was a very learning experience of, the venue, the makeup, right? If you see the staging, the everything, right? We tried to do 50 artists.
Wow.
And, you know what I'm saying? Trackless artists, right? That's a learning experience, right? And all of that, right? So there was a lot of learning involved in that, but still produced well, right? And Jarrell Adams, you know, pulls me to the side. This is actually during an event. He's like, you know, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about that. You know, whatever have you. He kind of gave some things to think of, like giving me constructive criticism. And that somebody at that point in time could really probably just tune somebody out.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? And just be like, you know, you know, or say, oh, you already had that in mind, blah, 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 whatever have you. Right? So then the next year, you know, I took that in heed, but some of the next year, some of those things that he mentioned were implemented. And he literally came to me and says, oh, you actually listen. You know, because you'll say things to people and they just don't do it, or, you know, you may think, you know, oh, you don't know what they're talking about. But so that was, you know, part of that. Yeah.
You know, one of the reputations Buffalo had, I think maybe it's fading, I hope it's fading, is kind of a collective naysayer attitude about things.
Yeah.
Have you heard from naysayers, people who maybe at the beginning of this said, you can't do this?
The haters.
I don't even want to come in, but you do have the name, like how are you doing this? You know, like, once you start telling the story, once you start seeing it, right? So I don't really get caught up in that.
Sure.
It's just, I'm just going to do it, right? And I'm just going to show you, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it, right? But if you want to talk about, like, particularly like with the Gibson Project, right? You have, how are you going to do it? You know, how's it going to get funded? How's it going to, you know, all of those different, you know, you have like whys, and that's going to be tough to do. Nobody, you know, so you have that. And then,
right.
you have an announcement where the county wants to get behind it, right? So you just prove it with the results, right? So, and that's what I, you know, so.
You don't get caught up in it.
Yeah, I don't.
It's not fuel for you at all?
No, it's not, because, like, I pride myself on being very, like, determined. So, like, if I say, like, I want to do it, I'm going to deliver on it, right? And it's, if there's support behind it, if it's not, I still want to kind of do it. So, like, hey, if I want to put this event together, right, if I got to put my own time, talent, and treasure to it, then I'm going to do it, right? And I know that now if partnerships come involved, that makes it even greater, right? And at the end of the day, if they leave, we still can do this thing, because we know what it takes to do it. So I always believe in that, so that, you know, because if you give too much to the naysayers, then they kind of control your vision, and they kind of control where you want to kind of get to. So it doesn't feel me in that way. It's like, this is what we want to try to achieve. Let's get to this.
Gotcha.
Get to this mark. Yeah.
We've got a few minutes left, and I just wanted to, for a younger cat who has a vision, but maybe, you know, lacks the self-determination or the self-discipline to rise above, what would you tell them, you know, in terms of, like, self-motivation and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think when you look at that, if you have the vision, right, I'm huge into... I'm like old school, like, get a notebook, write everything down. Don't write your vision down in the laptop at first. Write it all, like, literally write it down. It has a different meaning to write it down. But if you like the determination aspect, I think you have to create a circle around you of people who you want to be inspired around. Like, so if you're like, hey, I want to be around, you know, develop the landscape, right? Artists are great, but I need to be around the developers to hear what they're talking about, and that can help me motivate me to do X, Y, Z, or look at things in a different light that can help push this, right? Hey, if I want to be in broadcast, I need to be around people who are actually in broadcast. So almost changing your surroundings that you kind of run to kind of, so that you start to adapt to what's around you. Yeah.
Nice. And then just want to make sure, okay, the festival's coming up August 20th. Or not the festival, the celebration.
Celebration.
Sorry about that. Just maybe let's go through the particulars in case somebody's just tuning in about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the 8th annual Buffalo Music Arts Celebration, which is presented by a lot of our great partners. The celebration weekend is Thursday, August 22nd until Sunday, August 25th. Thursday, August 22nd is our VIP reception at the Birchfield Penny Arts Center. Which will be a casino nights theme, create a black tie event, a celebration of some of our community heroes and stakeholders. This will be a great day to come out and support a lot of the great things that we're doing in the community. Friday, August 23rd is our Buffalo Backyard Barbecue. Inviting all our family, friends, and our cousins to the cookout, right? have a great barbecue menu. We're going to have food. We're going to have music. We're going to have dancing. We're going to have dominoes tables, space tables. We're having some of those nostalgic pieces from red cups to the huggy coolers, right? To a little bit of everything to kind of bring that nostalgia back, right? And then on Saturday, August 24th, we are bringing the culture to the golf course with the Buffalo Golf Open at South Park Golf Course. That's going to be a really great day for everyone. And then ending it off on Sunday, August 25th, at the Buffalo Center Terminal with the Buffalo Music Arts Celebration, which is going to be featuring over 15 phenomenal artists from across the region, but not only across the region, coming from Mississippi, Fires Mississippi, Toronto, Canada, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, such as Affinity Song, Cameron Corvée, Say Blue, La Cassandra, DJ Ted Smooth, DJ First Choice, and many others who are making their way to Buffalo and are here in Buffalo. Art installations, exhibiting arts, vendors village, food trucks. We have a newer cap tent where people are going to be customizing caps at. We have a little bit of everything, family fun zone. We have everything going on for everybody. So welcome everybody to join us. You can get tickets individually. You can get tickets for the weekend. You can get tickets, you know, if there's packages for everybody to enjoy. There's herd packs. There's our group ticket package as well, too, if you want to bring your family. Get some discounts. You get discounted as well, too, so.
Nice. Good.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank Lindsay Taylor for being with us on What's Next.
Thank you.
All right.
You're listening to WBFO News and Buffalo, Toronto Public Media.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.